Buenas tardes. Sí hablo español, soy de México, viví, nací, crecí en México, pero os voy a presentar en inglés simplemente porque los términos son muy técnicos y no me sale presentarlos en español. Ya he intentado muchas veces, pero pregúntenme lo que quieran en español, levanten la mano y párenme, aviéntenme algo, que no sea muy duro, por favor. Y vamos a empezar. Es el primero y la segunda disclaimer que les voy a dar ahorita es, tuvimos que cambiar, mi computadora es acá y tuve que cambiar computadora a una Mac, entonces no sé si vaya a funcionar el PowerPoint y no tengo los mismos demos, pues les voy a hacer muchos demos muy simples porque con el video no pudimos conectar mi computadora al video, simplemente no proyectó. O sea que paciencia, paciencia. Why am I here? You know, let me tell you about what I've done at Microsoft and some of the things that I do now and give you some context on what we're going to talk about for the next hour. I've been at Microsoft for 15 years. Before that, I was a very big Java, Linux guy. I'd work at Xerox, Park. I did, you know, crazy stuff out there, and I was a Microsoft hater. Those icons don't look like that on my PC. Sorry. That's a Linux, C++, and a Java icon. Man, it's also, all right, we'll just go with it. Ignore the PowerPoints. I'll give you guys a PDF or something for the PowerPoint because it's reformatting really weird. Again, I moved from PC to Mac 15 minutes ago. So what I've done is pretty simple. I used to be one of those guys that didn't do Microsoft, didn't like Microsoft very much. I actually worked there 22 years ago, left. Spend the next 7 years of my life doing C++, Linux, Java, everything but Microsoft elsewhere, and then came back to Microsoft 15 years ago. So I used to be one of these guys that coded with what I call primitives, which was just literally coding down to the platform. At Xerox, I worked on kernels. I did all kinds of stuff that most of you will consider painful. Then around 2000, I went to a Microsoft conference. I saw .NET, and I thought, wow, that's it. And I came back to Microsoft. And I wrote that whole productivity, that productivity phase with .NET. If you remember back in 2000, you used to come to an event and have a Microsoft guy, and he'll show up, and he'll do the WinForce demo where you drag and drop two controls, and you just connect it to SQL Server, and everything was magic, right? It was all about productivity. I wrote that phase. I was one of the evangelists that presented, those icons really look bad, that presented all the, Windows forms and all that stuff. And it was a great time, and I learned a lot, but, you know, technology kept evolving. And then we move into a different area. We move into an area around, you know, probably, wow, the whole thing is formatted wrong. I think this is the only slide that's going to be like that, so we're okay. Around 2005 or so, we move away from productivity to user experience, right? That's the area where we found out that users cared for things that were beautiful. Users cared for things that were, you know, really immersive, right? Everybody started moving towards, oh, I no longer just need a good app, because that's what we used to do with WinForms. Now I need this, you know, beautiful app, like something you would do with WPF. And again, I was one of the guys that presented and evangelized WPF. I was one of the guys that helped architect a little bit some of the features that you see today. And then in the last 5 years or so, everybody's gone mobile, right? All development, all companies out there. I talk every month in my job to CEOs of the, you know, global 500 companies. And when they come to Microsoft at our briefing center, any CEO, the CEO, whether it's BMW or whether it's, Facebook or anything like that, they don't have to be writing consumer software, but everybody's coming to us and saying, hey, it's all about mobile today. We're a mobile-first company. I'm sure if you guys follow Microsoft, you heard that Microsoft, just 3 months ago, we changed from, you know, our motto back to a mobile-first, cloud-first world. So everybody's embracing mobile, and that's what I want to talk about today with regards to mobile and where we think we're at. Now, before I go there, I want to give you a disclaimer on what I'm going to present. This is going to drive me crazy. I almost feel like I should just not use this. How can we do it? Let's see if that. That almost looks better, right? Can we go like that? Can we live with that? Less animations, but at least I won't go crazy because I'm going to shoot myself pretty quick. So I'm going to talk about Xamarin today. So you have a Microsoft guy, and I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about Xamarin. And the reason I'm going to talk about Xamarin is because we care a lot about C#. We care a lot about the ecosystem, and we're going to tell you how we're doing mobile cross-platform with C# and our ecosystem. So three things. If you ever see me speak at Build or TechEd or any of those conferences, I am very opinionated. And when I present at a Microsoft conference, I'm totally okay telling people, that sucks, because it's usually our stuff. Today, I'm going to tell you the truth. So I might say something like, that sucks. And I want to tell you I do not work for Xamarin. So whenever I say that, don't take it as an authoritative answer. Some of those things they might be working on. I also want to tell you these opinions are mine, not Microsoft. So if I say, I like this or I don't like this, it's going to be about what I've done. And I have a lot of experience in this, so I'll talk about some projects that we've done, and you'll hear it. And then the last one is, this space is moving very fast. To be candid, you would see me go from a year ago where I was at Evolve with all these Xamarin guys talking and doing, and I told them, you're too far, you don't have enough, everything, to Evolve next year, where I've told them, wow, you've changed so much. This has become really, really interesting. So what I'm going to tell you about, what I'm going to talk about, it's really interesting today, and it's something that's still coming towards the future, so keep that in mind as I go. Am I speaking too fast? You raise your hand if you understand it. All right, good, cool. I'm just going to keep it like this. So mobile has exploded. How many of you are doing mobile today? A few. How many of you are even desktop? Cloud? All right. So if you're doing any sort of software development today, hopefully you're already in that premise that says mobile has exploded. Today we design apps for mobile first, and then we take them everywhere else, right? So IDC has shown statistics that said, for example, right now, literally 60 to 70% of new development is actually starting with smartphone in mind. So that's where we're at today. And I spend a lot of time dealing with this. I have my own apps on iOS and Android, and I spend a lot of time dealing with this problem, I work for Microsoft, so I know Microsoft technologies really well. But when I have to write mobile, I have to worry about what's out there. And the reality is, if I look at the market, Apple has a very big chunk of the market, and they dominate with regards to consumer spend. Android has a bigger chunk of the market, and they dominate with regards to user base, and Microsoft is still growing. So for me, it's been painful because I have to write applications that are mobile, for my kind of hobbies and my startup projects and everything else, and I have to go back and look at what's out there. And here's what I see. The first one is I have this application I started with, and the first thing that I did is like, well, if I need to go across the board, I'm just going to go to the web, right? I'm going to write an HTML, maybe jQuery, jQuery mobile app, and I did that. And I had this beautiful app that I think is a great game. It was a consumer game, and people were just not buying, they were not spending a lot of money. They were not buying a lot into the app. And when I went back and I asked a bunch of the people that used it, they said, it's just not cool. It's just very bland. It's very minimalistic, right? So I went back and I said, okay, my web app is not making, is not actually doing what we need to do. So I went back and I said, well, what if I take all my web application, my jQuery mobile app, and I move it to a hybrid, right? And what I can do there is I still had all my HTML, and I wanted to keep that because it was server-side, it was very agile with regards to development, it was something that I could iterate quickly on, and I could just push it out there, and it would work on all platforms I never had to worry about. And then when I said, well, I'm going to write a hybrid, I said, look, I'm going to go in there and add push notifications to the app, I'm going to add in-app purchasing, I'm going to add a few things that are native. So I started writing the code that correlated between these two things. And I spent probably 2 months doing that, and it got really painful with regards to going back and forth. Then I rolled it out to customers, and it just flopped again. Literally no difference. I asked people, and they said, the app looks the same. It's not good enough. Right? So then I said, okay, well, let's go out there and write it in native. Right? It's what we had to do. So I started working, I actually went in, did all the iOS, Objective-C training, spent probably 3 to 4 months rewriting my app into Objective-C, painfully learning the language and everything else. Then I spent another 2 months doing the exact same thing for Android, right? And then 6 months later, I had the two apps, I put them up on the market, on the stores, and they started doing much better. But then the next month came up, and my game is about, or the game that I was talking about here is about sports, and, you know, NFL season was coming in the U.S., and then I realized, wow, I don't have another 6 months to update the app, right? Because I already had two apps. They were both native. I wasn't doing enough on both sides. So I looked at it, and I said, I need something better. I need, you know, a different answer. And that's where I went back and looked at Xamarin, which I hadn't looked at for a while. And with Xamarin, I can now write the exact same app, you know, with C#, so I don't have to learn any language. I don't have to be using two or three different tools that I need to become familiar with, and target different platforms using the base class libraries that I like, using the C# that I like, and just having to learn a little bit about the platform. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how to share, you know, code, how to write native apps with shared code. This lab was supposed to be hidden, but since you're seeing all of them, this is actually a good slide from it. With Visual Studio and Xamarin, you'll be able to use your C#, and if you want to write JavaScript, which is for cross-platform, with regards to, you know, without having to worry about tooling, learning languages, learning any of the, getting any of the new skills, you can just focus on writing your app. With Xamarin, the one thing that I want to highlight is there's three things that are really interesting. Xamarin is native. Right? If you're going to talk, you're going to see it in a minute if you haven't seen it. And Xamarin is native technology. And what you have there is you end up with native user interface, which is great, because if you go back to my slide where I told you, 2005 we shifted, right? Everybody started caring about user experience. If you don't have an app that looks and performs great, it's not going to do well in the market. So with Xamarin, you get native user interface, you get native performance, and you get unlimited access to all the APIs. You get native API access. So you're actually the best of both worlds, and you're actually using C#. So pretty much we start with a base class library. Oops. I guess I can't do that one. You start with a base class library. And then, which, you know, everybody here should already know. You know about system.net, you know system.io, you know Link. And then you just trickle a little bit of APIs right here, like our Windows storage, all of our Windows API, and you end up with a Windows or a Microsoft Windows Phone application or a Windows Store application. You can do the exact same thing. Just start with the exact same base library, exact same base tools, and then you just drag on top of it the iOS APIs, and you can end up with an iOS application, and you can do the exact same for Android. So let me show you what that looks like. And again, because I switched machines, I'm no longer going to show it to you all in Visual Studio. So, come on. There we go. How many of you have been in Xamarin Studio before? Just for context. Recently? All right, cool. So this is pretty straightforward. Again, I'm switching demos quite a bit, so let's just go here and go, this is Xamarin Studio, and I can just go right here and say file new solution. And I'm just going to say, oh, give me a, you know, an Android application, and I'll just create a folder here. Again, I swapped all my demos, so I'm just going to create everything from scratch. Let's just go here. Just going to call it Light Android App. And what you're going to see here is pretty straightforward. It's Xamarin. If you look at it, it actually looks quite similar to Visual Studio. If I can go full screen. It looks quite similar to Visual Studio. It has the concept of solutions. It has the concept of references that are assemblies. It has all these folders. Now, in this case, you're looking at folders that you might not be familiar with because it has the structure of an Android project. Right, so what you're going to see here is it's got the structure of an Android project, but if you look at the code right here, the code is actually C#, and in a minute I'll show you this exact same code on a slide. But what I did there is just very simple, file new project. I can then come back here and say, go ahead and Android and run this in Android emulator, and you'll get a C# app that's actually running in Android. So you'll see here. Oh. Minimum supported. Let's go here. I switched VM, so So what you see here is like very simple, right, out of the box, and I'm not going to go too deep into it because I switched the demos, and you can't read that code anyway. And what you see here is that I have a C-sharp app. It's an Android app. You see deploy. The clicks right here are working and everything else. And if you want to see the code, I can go back here and show you what that looks like. So that's one Android app. I'll show you in a minute really quick how I can do the exact same thing and just create an iOS app using the exact same thing. I just go back there, file, new solution. And this time, I'm going to click iOS, use the classic API, and just create an iPhone app, and it's going to be the exact same thing, right? So if I just go back there, exact same thing. If you look at it here, you'll see in a minute the code, so don't worry about it as much. And if I just say run it, it's right now just generated, you know, it's running the simulator, the iOS simulator, and it's going to come out and generate an app that will run on the simulator. I can put breakpoints. I can do everything that I'll be familiar with. Now, normally I would give you that demo, and I would be doing all of that out of Visual Studio, right? If my machine was running, that's what I was going to show you. But it's the exact same thing. So let's walk through that, because those are the parts that I want to walk you through today anyway. So and these would have been animated. Well, let's try it. Let's see if these lights don't have all the crazy formatting that we did. Yeah, so that's good, because that's a little more readable. If any of you try to create that simple little app that just, you know, does nothing but shows an alert view, it says like a message box saying, hello world, this is what you would have to do. You would actually have to come here and, you know, do it on Objective-C. I don't know how many of you, if you are a .NET guy, you probably look at that syntax and puke, right? It took me forever to just get used to it, and I found the language constraining, and there were a lot of things that I was missing as I was trying to write iOS. You look at it there, like, you know, there's curly brackets, there's brackets everywhere. It's a little bit hard for people to actually get familiar, get used to it a lot. Now, check out what iOS, what Xamarin Studio did for me and how they generated the code. They do two things that I want you to get, I want you to get out of it. The first one is, it's all C#. I can read it. I can use the exact same code or most of this exact same code on Android. Now, I want you to look at, for example, there. It has UI alert view. That's actually an iOS API, right? So you see the exact same API being called on the left and the right. So so Xamarin, all they do is create this thing they call a binding, where they actually give you a way to call using C# onto all of the native Android APIs or iOS APIs, right? If you're familiar with WinRT, that's exactly the same thing we do in WinRT with Windows Phone, right? We call it projections. They call it bindings. It's the exact same thing, right? So it's actually very similar technologies. All it's doing is interrupt, getting down to the lower level. But you can see that you can actually access those APIs. And the other thing that you can see that's kind of neat to me is that when they give me the bindings, they also change the syntax. So for example, in Objective-C, if I want to set the title to something, I call a method called setTitle. In Xamarin, I actually have a title property. Same thing for message, right? If I'm going to call a method called addButton, I can actually call a method. So the syntax is much, much friendlier with regards to you doing it, you know, and you're doing it on C#. So there, right out of the box, remember we talk about that era of productivity. You're not losing anything on that era of productivity, and you're keeping all your performance with regards to, you know, making sure that you're talking about native apps. Exact same thing happens with Android. If you're looking at Android and that was actually a little bit more readable, you would actually see that's just an Android activity and it's just going in there and getting the button and then, you know, writing a little bit of code that does the exact same thing. It has these alert dialog that it's using and it's actually presenting the dialog by itself. If you look at the C#, it has the exact same things that we saw with iOS. It has the C# syntax, it has modern APIs, like for example, the ability to use delegates. You can look at it. The code is much more readable, and just to me, not only because it's C#, but also because it's using much more modern APIs than what Java gets, right? With Java, you always get these really deep chains of callbacks because they don't have async and they don't have all the APIs that we have that we're familiar with .NET. So what I want you to take out of that so far, what we have is that, hey, you can use Xamarin Studio and Visual Studio to call and create apps that are native iOS, Android, and Windows Phone. If I was doing my other demo, I would have shown you the exact same on Windows Phone. And you would have been okay with regards to writing native apps using C# and using Visual Studio, which means productivity wouldn't suffer and performance wouldn't suffer because you're using native performance. Man, that's another one. I'm back to it. Because you're using native performance. So that's where you're at right now. Now, if you looked at that code, there were some problems with that code. This is going to be crazy. All right, let's go. If you look at that code, there were some issues with that code. You saw some good stuff. You saw that, hey, I got C#, it's basically a library, I can do iOS, I got a great editor, I get all this stuff. But we kind of had a mess where we had UI alert view, and then we had alert dialog on Android, and then you end up writing two sets of code. I mean, you're using the same tools, you're using the same language, so you're better off than you were before, but you're still not done. It's not as optimal as it could be, because you need to figure out how you're going to share your code. Now, again, I told you earlier, a year ago, I was looking at Xamarin, and I was not as excited about it, because this is how we used to do things a year ago. This is driving me crazy. I can't. But what you're seeing here, actually, I could probably show it to you better this way. Show you real code. Here's how I used to share code a year ago with Xamarin. This is probably going to be... No, I can't show it to you in code because I don't have that project copied here. All right, I'll show you the next one. The problem is I don't have the exact same demos and projects here. But what you're looking at here is pretty simple. It's a project that has, it's a solution that has three different projects, one for Android, one for iOS, and then one that I was sharing. And then what I used to do is I used to actually use linked files to share my code across all the projects, and then I can go in there and search compiler and share compiler directives where I have code right here that says pound if iOS, pound if Android, pound if something else, and that's how I used to share all the code. And this was painful, right? I could share a lot of code. I could get to 75% of my code sharing, and then the rest of the 25% would look like this, which was a little bit messy. And that's where they were a year ago. Now, they've improved quite a bit, and that's where things got interesting for us, and that's the ones that I want to talk to you about today. Here's where they are today. The first thing that they have is... working together, Microsoft and Xamarin have been working together, and now we have portable Christ library support for Xamarin Studio. Everybody here familiar with portable Christ libraries, right? So, Britt, are you familiar with portable Christ libraries? So, portable Christ libraries is just the it's kind of a common set that Microsoft defines where you can say, look, I'm going to create a library, and this is going to be portable code. What that means is I can go in there and say, I want to code a portable project that's going to work on Windows Phone, Windows Store, and iOS. And the Microsoft compilers automatically create the right subset of code that you can reference, such that when you compile your project, it only generates code that will be valid among the three platforms, right? So it narrows it down to the right subset. It's kind of like using a .NET profile, narrows down to the right subset, and then you can create a project that runs across all platforms. So it's going to be easier for you to actually share code between the two of them. What you end up with portable class library is that you end up with one assembly, so you end up with one binary that you share across all the projects, right? And that's easy. If you're writing a component, that's what you want to do, right? If you're running an application, that might not be what you want to do because there you don't want to always use the subset. You always want to have a little bit of native integration. So there we give you a slightly different option. And I'm going to talk about that option after the next slide. Now, if you write a portable class library, the next thing that you do is you can actually ship it and deploy it using NuGet. Everybody here familiar with NuGet? Right, that one you know. Okay, good. So that's another advantage that you have with regards to being able to use that approach. And in a minute, you'll see this in code with a portable CRUD library and a NuGet using NuGet will look like. Now, the last thing that you have is portable CRUD library. Again, when you're coding to that, you're saying, oh, I would like to have one library that I can share across the board. For example, if you're using your network communication or if you're using some business logic, that's what you would do there. You would use a portable CRUD library and use that because that's specific to you. But you still need the concept of accessing native APIs, right? If you're in iOS, you need to show a very specific UI. If you're on Android, you need to show a very specific UI. Or in both platforms, maybe you need to get to the accelerometer or something where a portable CRUD library will not do the trick just because you have code that it's specific to the platform and you simply cannot put that in a portable CRUD library, right? So what we have there is they have a new concept called Share Project. Share Project actually comes from what we've done in Visual Studio. How many of you are familiar with Windows Phone and Windows Store development? A few? So if you're familiar with Windows Phone and Windows Store, what you're seeing is that starting in April with Visual Studio 2013 Update 2, we introduced this new concept of a share project. It's this one project that you can use to target multiple platforms. You just go in there and say, oh, create what we call, at Microsoft, we call it a universal app, right? You say file new, and you create one application that has one solution that has three projects. One of them is shared, and then the other two are actually specific to the platform. And when you're using those, when you're coding to those other twos, you can embed any logic that you would actually have that's specific to the platform, right? So let me show you what that looks like. It's easier if I explain it to you in code. Sorry about the switching. This is not how I usually do this, but this will be easy enough. So I'm back here to Xamarin Studio. Stop that debugger. And I'm just going to say file new solution. And in this case, I'm just going to go C#. And I'm going to select a share project, right? Normally in Visual Studio we do this slightly different. So let's see if we can go. If I have anything that you can use. Let's try it like this. C#. Share project, and let's just put it in the same scratch directory so I can scratch all that later. But see, this isn't going to help you guys because I want you to see the whole thing. Let me see if I have something here for you that you can see. This would work. When I move all my projects, the problem is half of them here. This will give you the right structure. Here's an example of a shared project. Can you guys read that? You cannot see that, right? Yes. I don't know how to zoom in on a Mac. That's my problem. That I know how to do it on Windows with app. So what you're seeing here, actually, I'll walk you through it. So what you're seeing here is this. Here's a project that's called SAML samples, right? And everything in here, you'll see that most of the logic is here. And it's in this one project right here. You see all of my SAML, all of my C# files are here. And everything that's under here, so all of these that I expand and contract right now is actually being shared across all the other projects in this solution. So for example, here, I have the Android version of this solution, and you'll see that there's a lot less here. There's a lot less files because what this solution, this Android solution, is actually bringing everything that we bring from that shared project onto their project, right? And now I can actually bring in stuff that's shared, and whenever I need to write the logic that's custom to my Android platform, I can actually override it here, and I can do things right here. And in this shared project, I can still use preprocessors the same way that I was doing before when I was using link files. So here, what this saves me, it saved me from duplicating all the project structure. Now I got it all in one place. It's very easy for you to see the files and actually be able to share them across. And if I want to do platform-specific logic, I can actually just do pound if devs the way I would do, where I can say pound if Android or pound if iOS. And because the project right here gets included onto the right ones, whenever it's included into the iOS project, that preprocessor works. And whenever it's included into the Android project, the other preprocessor work. So now I have a place where I can share a lot of my code. I got rid of all my link files, so my project structure is much, much cleaner with regards to what I had before. And I don't see you can read. I don't think you can read that, so it doesn't help you guys that much. But I'll give you screenshots of these if you want to see them. So with shared projects, you can see here, maybe this will help you better visualize it. With shared project, what I have here is I have this project right here. Here's the Android. Here's iOS. And then there's something shared, and I can share with Windows and Windows Phone. In most cases, my logic is inside this shared logic, and then the rest of the libraries are very easy, and it's much easier for me to keep track of them. So that's where you are with regards to shared projects. Now, this so far still has a problem that if I'm writing for iOS and Android, I still have two different user interfaces. So I can go in there and share as much as I want to, but that's why I had those extra projects, the iOS and the Android project, because right now I wasn't sharing UI. And here comes what's more exciting to me about Xamarin right now is that this year they've actually announced something they call Xamarin Forms. How many of you are familiar with XAML? Everybody here has heard of XAML before? Seen it? Good. So Xamarin Forms allow you to actually create shared UI, right, with regards to you can go in there and use XAML, so the declarative language that we use for creating projects for Windows Phone, WPF, Windows Store, you can use that exact same model, that's exact same declarative model, to create applications that will run on iOS and Android, right? So now you can actually go in there, and for example here, if I go back to that project I was just showing you, and I show you some of the UI. This project right here that I was sharing, all of these right here, so here's here's a page, this is just a basic Hello World. And you'll see right here, it's actually XAML, and this XAML right here will actually run across all platforms the exact same. Right, so I can go in there and using XAML define UI that actually runs on iOS, on Android, and Windows Phone without you having to touch the UI and without you having to switch the UI. And not only is it doing that, but the UI is actually native. So when I run this on Android and I put a button on the screen, it looks like an Android button. When I run this on Windows Phone and I put a button on the screen, it looks like a Windows Phone button. Right? So if you can actually go in here, and for example, for me, for some of my projects, we just went from, with just C#, I could share 75% of my code, to, now I can share up to 98 or 99% of my code because I actually can share all my UI. Right? So to me, this was what changed now I can go in there and tackle everything using this shared UI. So if I go here, just to show you. So this is the shared project, and I can here run it on Android. So I'm just going to set it as start a project. And let's see. Add any motion. Here we go. So here's what you're seeing. Let's check this out. Just like, for example, if we go back here and we look at Hello World, right? So you have this XAML right here. Let's see. Let's pick one from here. Just like XAML plus code, page.xaml, right? This is a very simple page that you see here defined in XAML. And if I go right there and I just say view it, you'll see just a simple page. It has a label. It has this little slider control. And if you're familiar with Android, these are native slider controls in Android. It has slider control right here. It's got a label that it's actually attaching to, and it's just displaying you the value of it. And then it has a button that I can click on, right? It's very, very simple, right? If I show you this exact same project running on Windows Phone or iOS, it would actually look native to the platform, but it will be rendering that SAML. So you, again, you define your UI using SAML, and now you're actually rendering onto the three platforms. So you, again, you are now finally sharing literally 90-some percent of your code. You have very few overrides if you're writing basic UI. And if you want the power of still going to native, with Xamarin, you can do that. You can go anywhere and go in there and do native integration, bring native controls, and do anything you want seamlessly. So that's what the advantage of this. Now you're going back to the, oh, you could literally write it once and then, you know, have it run on the three platforms. So that's what Xamarin Forms can give you. So it's much harder to do it this way, but hopefully. What are you getting with Xamarin Forms? You're getting about 50 controls. So if you think about anybody here that's done anything, Silverlight, WPF, Windows Store, and you're familiar with SAML, you have all the controls like button, slider, checkbox, all that stuff. You're getting all of the basic controls out of Xamarin. You're actually getting support for SAML. You're actually getting two-way data binding. That's another addition that's pretty recent. All the navigation, everything that you would need in order for you to write UI is actually there, and it's wrapped for you neatly such that you can just reuse it. For example, if you're looking at layouts, you have stack panel layout, you have absolute layout, which is what Microsoft we call Canvas. You have the grid that we have everywhere on Microsoft. It's also called grid. They have a content view, which is very similar to a content control for us on Windows Phone and Silverlight. They have a scroll view, which is our scroll view. So they have a very good one-on-one mapping with regards to all of the controls. Here's all the controls that you're seeing. So anything that you would expect, like a date picker, labels, all that stuff, you're going to get out of the Xamarin Forms UI. So that's what you're getting. Now, if you're a geek like me, or you know Silverlight and WPF and all those things really well, let me give you the insight on it. So first of all, what they're doing with their markup is they're actually implementing our SAML 2009 spec. So Microsoft has been, for example, C# is a public spec that anybody can implement, right? The base class library was a public spec that anybody could implement. SAML is also another public spec that Microsoft releases open source to the world and anybody can implement. Ironically for us, Xamarin is implementing the full 2009 spec. So if you look at their implementation, in some cases they have features that we don't even have in WPF. Because they implemented the whole spec, whereas with WPF, we stopped a little bit earlier. So they can do, for example, generic types. For you, you'll have 90% of your markup, and you'll be okay. Like 98% of the markup features that you're familiar with would all be there. They have data bindings. They have data templates with it. They have the concept of markup extensions. If you're familiar with SAML, we have this concept of markup extensions, which is how we design static resources and, you know, nulls and certain things. We just extend the language to represent some things that are beyond markup. And they can do all of that. They give you resource dictionaries. If you're Silverlight, the WPF, whatever, SAML expert, the only feature that they're missing, if you're looking at the core Silverlight features that we have in Windows Phone and Windows Store today, is styles. They don't have styles. But everything else, you can accomplish the exact same thing with resource dictionaries as you could with styles. It's a little bit more verbose, but you can actually do that. So, and they've given you the SAML, and then they've started wrapping things such that they give you higher-level APIs for common things. So, for example, they give you a display alert. The sample that I showed you earlier where I showed you an alert view, right? On one side on iOS, you have UI Alert View. That's a native API. On the other side, you have Dialog Builder on Android. On Windows Phone, we have Message Box. Well, they're starting to wrap some of those things, and now they give you something that they call Display Alert. And with Display Alert, you can actually just call Display Alert, and it's going to go do the right thing on any platform. So you're coding to one API. They do the same for timers. They do the same for maps. So they give you a lot of functionality. And then they do something that's really, really interesting, very unique, that I really like, actually. They have this extension that they allow you to do what they call on-platform. And what you can do here is you can go in there in your SAML. You can do on platform classes that said, look, if I'm on iOS, show this control. If I'm on Windows, show this other control, right? So it's like you get a conditional that you can use declarative, and you can also use from code, such that your UI is always up to par with the platform that you're actually displaying. So this is actually very interesting. This is something that, I'll be honest, I've been asking Microsoft to do for us for the last 5 years, and we still don't have it on the Microsoft platforms like on Windows Phone. We have other concepts that can relate to it, but we don't have something as neatly abstracted as what you can do with on-device. So here, this is a very, it's a neat thing that they've done. I've already showed you, a little bit of the Xamarin Forms stuff, so that's kind of where we're at. So I'm going to skip this part of the demo. So that's where we're at with Xamarin. If you haven't looked at it for a year, I highly recommend you go look, because they've gone a long way in a year. Literally a year ago, I was writing my projects, and I looked at Xamarin, and I thought, yeah, the link files, all that code sharing, all that stuff is not ready for me. Nowadays, with Xamarin Forms, with shared projects, now I've actually started to migrate all my code so that I can actually use this, because it's gone a really long way. And this is actually, in my mind, the way of the future, because today, nobody can get away with just writing a Windows Phone app. If you're mobile, you have to write Windows Phone plus iOS plus Xamarin. Plus Android. Nobody can get away with just writing one of the platforms. It's really hard to make a lot of money if you're writing one of the platforms. So they've gone a long way. Let me tell you what I think. Some of the tips and stuff that I would give you. So here's some of my lessons learned. The first one. Everybody that I spent a lot of time talking to people about this and training. This talk came because at TechEd next month in TechEd Europe, we're going to do an all-day training of, hey, here's what you have to do. So I'm condensing you the whole all-day 6-7 hours worth of training into this 1 hour. But this is the one common thing that happens. If you're going to use Xamarin, Xamarin is not a replacement for you learning about iOS and Android, unfortunately. Right? What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to spend 3 or 4 days learning about the native platform, learning all the constructs, learning how things work, and then you can go ahead and use C# and Xamarin to actually do the implementation. So you don't have to spend all your time in the platforms. You don't have to learn Xcode. You don't have to learn all the things that you shouldn't have to know. But you do have to understand the concepts. Otherwise, you're not going to be very, very successful at it. So what you do there is, in my opinion, if you want to learn native, Bigner Ranch has the 2 best books out there. And I read every possible iOS, Android book, and Windows Phone book that comes out there. I review a lot of them. And if you want to learn iOS or Android programming, I highly recommend you just take 3 days off. You go the beginning to end with the Bigner Ranch books, coding, by hand, doing the exercises, because that's how you're going to learn it. And then you'll be a pretty good iOS and Xamarin expert, an iOS an Android expert. If you want to learn Xamarin, just go download their code, right? They have a huge amount of code in GitHub. They have a huge amount of documentation. You don't need to buy a book outside of Charles Petzl's book, which comes out next week at Evolve, and he's going to have a book on Xamarin Forms, and that one might be worth reading. But everything else, there's not a really great book out there that you can learn from. You learn a lot more from code, especially because we're all .NET developers, so for us, it's very easy to just go in there and look at the code and understand all the platforms. You're already familiar with all that. So those are the things some of the things I want to tell people. The next question that comes up a lot is, I want to share my code. What should I use? Should I use portable class libraries? Should I use share projects? Maybe I use, any other patterns like, dependency injection, service locators, any of those other things that I actually abstracted here and said, yeah, you implement those with partial classes, extensions, C# extensions, et cetera. The reality is that to create a really good project, you're going to actually use all of them. There's a lot of should I use PCL versus shared project? You cannot get a production project worked without using a shared project. And if you're going to abstract and refactor your code properly, you're going to have to use some PCL no matter what. So that's kind of where you're going to do. So don't worry about which one you're using. Make sure you use all of them. And by the way, these slides were animated, so I'm just giving you this stuff. But if I run it, you should have seen them come out with animations and, you know, underline and all that. Let's see if we can get through them like that. With regards to UI pattern, what you should do, especially if you're looking at, you know, using SAMLs and everything. So first of all, follow the separation of concerns. Do use SAML. If you can get away with it, use the declarative SAML. Right now, if you're looking at Xamarin, they do not have a designer for SAML. So right now, you're coding the SAML from scratch. Is that mine? They're coding the SAML from scratch. But long term, I assure you that it's going to pay up for you to actually do, you know, to actually be able to use SAML from scratch. On the long term, because later on when they add designer support, etc., you'll be able to say open things in Blend and tweak them and do everything else. So it helps you to actually use declarative. MBBM is not required. If you've talked to anybody at Microsoft for the last 5 years, especially people like me, you go to any Microsoft conference and the first thing we do is we talk to you about MBBM. The reality is both iOS and Android have a very different architecture. They're more slated towards model view controllers. So on that side, I highly recommend that you not worry about it and just implement what makes sense. You can use data binding, you can get very close to model view models, but you don't have to try to create pure model view models, right? The model view model pattern was designed many years ago for WPF, where we had infrastructure like triggers and other commands and other things that have never existed on any other platform. So when you talk to anybody that tells you, oh, MBVM is the only way to go, the reality is that you're forcing it if you try to use MBBM on iOS and Android. You're going to see a little bit of friction, and just implement what makes sense and actually don't force it too much. Use the on-platform syntax for specific code so that you can actually write code for you know, iOS or Android without having to duplicate a huge amount of code. And then the one thing that Xamarin hasn't solved, so right now, if you look at Xamarin Forms, they've actually solved the problem of, you know, you can share the UI, but they haven't solved the problem of, oh, if I'm going to share my UI, how do I deal with Android having 17 different resolutions, Windows Phone having 4 resolutions, iPhone having now 8 resolutions, right? How do I deal with this? They haven't solved that problem. That's where you can use content page, which is the equivalent of user control. That's the name that they use for user control. You can use dynamic layout with grids, panels, and everything that we talked about earlier, the ones that they have, which you're familiar with if you're a Windows Phone developer. And you can make the best out of that in order for you to have dynamic UIs that actually get better or work well across the platforms. Back to being a little more readable. If you're writing mobile apps anywhere, make sure you're connected to the cloud. You can connect, use Azure. You should use Azure. We spend a lot of time making sure that our Azure support for for Xamarin is great. We support iOS, we support Android. We're really good with regards to making sure that Azure works seamlessly, all the features. Something that people always ask about, the one gotcha that I see with regards, people always ask about performance when you're using Xamarin, you're abstracting all the language. Performance, you're not going to have a problem. Memory and garbage collection, you do have to understand and figure out what you're doing. First of all, on iOS, they have 2 garbage collectors. They use something that I think it's called the default one. It's kind of like, it's a Bohem garbage collector, and it's the old one that they use. And then Xamarin is now moving to something, to a modern garbage collector called SGen. It's generational. The SGen is generational, very much like .NET is. So if you create a new Xamarin project, make sure you go in there and switch it to SGen. SGen is now stable. It's pretty good. It's just not the default because of historical reasons. So make sure that you actually just move into SGen. That's what they use on Android. That's what we use on Windows Phone. So it will be familiar for you. It will be seamless for you. Performance is not a problem. Well, that slide got reformatted too. All you have is... if you want to measure performance, use the native tools. In the end, Xamarin is doing nothing but calling onto native code. So if you want to measure performance, you can use instruments or you can use Visual Studio or the Windows Phone Power Tools to measure performance on your Xamarin code. If you're a gamer, Unity and MonoGame follow these exact same model. Unity is actually using C# and Mono runtime underneath it in order for you to create games. And if you're not familiar with Unity, it's today the most popular gaming engine in the world, right? 50% of the new mobile games that are getting started today are actually being developed on Unity. So that's actually the best proof that you can get that this model works. Unity has been doing it for 4 or 5 years. Right now, they have 500 million active gamers or active million active game developers that come back every month using this exact same model of using C Sharp to abstract and using a tool that abstracts you from all the platforms and then being able to target all the platforms. And that's it. In closing, if you want to do mobile app development with C Sharp, you're going to get something that's very familiar because you have C Sharp syntax. You're going to get something very productive because you're going to be using Visual Studio. You're going to get highly reusable. You're going to get a platform that empowers you to do everything that you could do if you were native. And then you're building on the Microsoft Foundation because everything that you see here on Xamarin, you saw XAML 2009 spec, you saw the C-sharp specification, you saw the base class library, you saw a Roselink compiler. All of these things are just stuff that Microsoft shipping. It's open source. Xamarin is building on, so they're very well covered. They're not going away as a business in terms of we're not going to pull out their C-sharp or anything like that. And it's got a solid foundation. It's got a solid design because it's the exact same stuff that we use in-house at Microsoft. Two more slides real quick, and then I don't know if I have time for questions because I have no clue what time it is. But if you want to get it and you have MSDN, they have very significant discount for MSDN subscribers. So go to xamarin.com/MSDN, and then you will see, some really good, discounts for you if you have an MSDN subscriber. And then the last one is whenever I speak at places like these, I always want people to go try it out because I want you to hear, but I want you to go try it out on yourself. So what we're going to do here is if you're interested, by the way, Xamarin licenses are $999. Like the Xamarin license that we use with Visual Studio is $999. So let me bring this one up because this one's worth reading. I want you to go out there and try it. So here's what I'm going to ask you. If you go, for everybody here, there's a free version of Xamarin Studio that you can download tomorrow. Go out there on your own in the next week after the conference. Create a little Hello World project. So something that you show that shows us that you created something, like downloaded it, compiled, did all the thing, right? And then send us via Twitter. Just send me a link that says, hey, here's my project, right? And then next Friday, a week from now, at noon my time, I'm just going to randomly pick one out of them. So you don't have to do the cooler one. You don't have to do the better one. It doesn't matter if your project is 400 lines of code or 10,000 lines of code, right? You send me a link to something that says, look, I tried it for real. And then we're going to pick one random one, and then we'll give you a coupon so you can get a Xamarin license for iOS and Android. So that's $2,000. So feel free to tweak it. Feel free to follow that one. And I'll make sure we post these slides and give them to the organizer, so you guys have a way to do that. And by the way, that license comes from Xamarin, so I'm not going to get credit for giving you $2,000. They're kind enough to give it to you. So that's where we're at. That's it. I'm here the whole 3 days. I feel horrible about what you just went through with regards to the presentation and the deck not formatting, and you not being able to do anything. It's just that I swapped machines and we didn't get a chance to try it out for real. But I'll give you guys the PowerPoint, and if anybody has questions, I'll be on the Slack or reach out to me because I love to talk to people. How did I do on time? Because I started very late, so can somebody tell us? I can look at my time, but my time tells me it's 10:14. It says time expired. So I guess I'm over. So if you have questions, come and talk to me afterwards, and I'll make sure you have the slides somewhere where you can read them. So, sorry.